wouldn't have known. Just gotta find one verse. Okay, I'm excited. But hold on, okay? Now you have to determine, I love starting ones like this, you have to determine not to get offended, okay? All right, but I know I love you, and I know that you love me, and I know that God loves us all. Okay, so what was going on there? What was going on during worship? Sorry. A battle. Okay? A battle. Anyone else? Yep.
Start with, I believe I saw.
Okay.
In kind of like the ceiling. It was like a big cut all around the ceiling, with holes in the ceiling, but it's still staying up with God's light kind of shining through it.
Okay. Okay.
That's all. Yeah.
Okay. So the ceiling, but holes cut through it.
It was like a big cut.
Yeah.
All around it, but it's still staying up. And there was holes in the ceiling with God's light shining through it.
Okay.
It's still up, but with the holes shining through
it. That's good. Anyone else? There's a bunch of soul stuff going on,
yeah.
For sure. There's a bunch of soul stuff going on. It's so neat because it all ties together. From what John shared during the sharing time, through the worship, through a few things that were said there, what Carlene shared, what Morgan shared, I just see so much tying together. And, oh, okay. So this is what I was getting. And, I don't know where to start because I got to pick the starting point right. Although I guess just starting. We see things, okay? I really believe it. We see the light shining through. And I get this picture of, we see what's going on in the Holy of Holies. So that's the tabernacle, remember? Holy of Holies, holy place, outer courts, right? We see what's going on in the Holy of Holies. We see it. And there have been times, yes, where what's happening in the Holy of Holies just streams into our holy place. It streams into our soul. It just floods us. There's no curtain. It's almost like, it's not just that there's holes in it. Like the whole curtain is taken away. There's no veil. There's no ceiling. There's no nothing. And he just starts pouring out and we can't help but shout, right? We can't help but shout. We can't help but sing. We can't help but just reach out, okay? But then there's times where it's like, I see it and I want to reach it. The last time he poured out like this, we shouted, so let's shout and try and get there. It does not work that way. Now, I believe in prophetic acts. Don't get me wrong. So there are times where the Lord says to us, okay, I want you to perform this prophetic act because it's a place of, like, I look at prophetic acts like prayers, and yet we pour out that prophetic act. So I feel like the Lord wants us to shout. Then we shout, even though it's not pouring out, like, as in from the Holy of Holies to the holy place. It's instruction from the Holy of Holies, and he is asking us to do something. And that's great, just like the walls of Jericho. They shouted out of obedience. They blew the trumpets out of obedience, and the walls fell. So I totally believe in prophetic acts out of obedience that we walk in what God has for us. But we cannot get there by shouting our way there. I'm not saying we shouldn't shout in that. But as I'm just observing and just seeing what's going on and everything, it's like, no, something's a little bit backwards here. Something's a little bit backwards. And again, it reminds me of what we talked about a few weeks ago with the Niagara Now and that. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Okay, so now I want to skip right back to what John first shared when we were sharing. But if you keep your life, then you actually lose it. If you lose your life, then you find it. And it's so, man, when you said that, and when you talked about, I forget how you exactly worded it, but it went right along with stuff that God was showing me this week to maybe share today, and I wasn't sure, and yet that's where it seemed to be going, both from Romans 8 and Galatians chapter like 3, 4, 5 there, and walking in the Spirit. Here, I'm gonna just read a bunch of it because it's God's word, and so I just want to read. So I'm gonna start. I'll go with Romans 8 first, even though I was in Galatians first this week. I'm gonna just start with Romans. And this so has to go along with the word that Morgan shared with us right there, the challenge. Like, first of all, what Carlene said about, like, is there sin in the way? And then what Morgan said about, are we all in? Like, I forget how she worded it so much better. But, like, it's basically, do we really want what we're asking for? And all of that. It so goes along with that. So with that context, right? With that context, so 8, I'm going to start in verse 1, and we need to hear this right off the bat. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So I want us to hear that. There is no condemnation. And this is where I know that you know I love you. You better know I love you by now. If you don't know that by now, then we need to talk. No, I'm just kidding. But like, it's this place of, okay, I just want us to go for it. So there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation from Christ, no condemnation from me. No condemnation that can stick, okay? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. And this is where we are called to be people who live according to the Spirit, not according to the sinful nature. Okay? Those who live according to the sinful nature, they have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So that's how you know if you're walking in the Spirit or walking in the sinful nature, walking in the flesh. The mind of sinful man, or let's see here, how does it say it here? Or the mind set on the flesh, or the set on the sinful nature, the mind set on the, where am I here? Verse 6, the mind set on the sinful nature is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind set on the sinful nature or on the flesh, the sinful mind, is hostile to God, and it doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And so you've got this opposition this absolute opposition going on. And he's talking to believers here. Yes, it's true of unbelievers, but he's talking to believers, and we'll see that even more clearly in the book of Galatians. He's talking to believers, and there is this war going on, our old way, and we'll find out in Galatians that that old way is actually crucified. The sinful nature, for those of us who believe, is crucified with Christ, but it's still alive on the cross and trying to influence us. It's not dead yet, right? And so he's still trying to influence us. The old way, the old nature. Now, verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature. Our chains have been torn away. We no longer are controlled by the sinful nature. Whenever we walk in the sinful nature, it's because we're choosing to do so. It's not because it controls us anymore. We are actually willfully obeying it at that point. Before we come to Christ, there is this place of, people are chained to the sinful nature. They are chained to their flesh. They can't help themselves quite often. But then Christ comes and breaks those chains away. And so when we as believers, when we walk in the sinful nature or according to the sinful nature, it's because we're willfully doing so. It's because we're not being dragged anywhere. We can't blame it on anyone else. It's just willful. Okay? We are controlled by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Your flesh is dead. It's on the cross. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. And that's the fact. Living according to the sinful nature brings death. Always does. It always leads to death. Selfishness always leads to death. Self-righteousness always leads to death. Immorality always leads to death. It ruins, it destroys. It's like cancer. There's nothing good about cancer. There's nothing good. Right? The sinful nature always leads that way. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You will live. If you just put those deeds to death, those ways to death, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Daddy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children, God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. It then goes on in Romans 8, and I love the end of Romans 8 where it talks about, you know, those he foreknew, he predestined. And what are we predestined to be like? We're predestined to be like Christ. That's your destiny. As soon as you said yes to God, as soon as you repented and believed, okay, your destiny is now to be like Christ and all his character. And he is moving us towards that. He is moving us towards that. He is moving us towards that. Always. Let's flip over to Galatians. Now, both in Romans and Galatians, Paul is specifically talking to the issue of people wanting to go back to the law. We don't suffer from that. We don't want to go back to Mosaic law. But the principle of it remains the same, where we want to go back to our old way, our comfortable ways. Okay? So even though the specifics are the law in that, the principle is the same. The principle is freedom. In Christ. So 5 verse 1, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now, again, to the Jew, he's talking specifically a yoke of the Mosaic Law, slavery to the Mosaic Law, slavery to the Old Testament Law. It doesn't save. It can't. No one is set free. Romans talks about that a lot, by following the law. But I have written in my Bible, I have written both slavery to the law, but I have for myself slavery to sin. And we get into that in Galatians 5 there. Don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And then he goes into, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you. So for the next few verses, he speaks specifically about them wanting to find their righteousness in the law. But then verse 7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls on you or calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough, and that's a fact. As I was sitting here, and as we're worshiping together, and then a few people shared, Morgan shared, Carlene shared, different people were sharing, and that here's the fact. How we live our lives affects each other. And the one choice that we make in one part of our lives affects our whole life. And I've shared that many times before. How I choose to treat Carlene affects how I walk with God. What I choose to watch on TV affects my walk with God, affects church life. It affects the veil. It does. And I love that challenge. I love that challenge that Morgan said. Like, do we really want what we say we want? And I take that personally. Like, I'm like, do I really want this? Do I really want more of you, Lord? Do I want the veil to be torn away? And we would all say, well, of course we do. We love when the glory of God pours through the Holy of Holies into the holy place. We love that feeling. We love that reality. We love that experience. We love that closeness and that relationship, as we should, because it's glorious. We love being used by God, God pouring through us, whether we're on vacation or on a golf course or at work or with our neighbors or with our family. We love that, and we should. We're ambassadors of God. More, Lord, more. Are we willing to go there? Are we willing to continually say yes to Him? Let's read on. Who cut in on you, right? Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? Who is cutting in on us? That's a good question. Who's cutting in on me and keeping me from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion doesn't come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. There it is again, right? I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Again, he's thinking law here at this point, like Mosaic law. And he says, brothers, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. And this is how, verse 12 is how angry Paul is at this whole situation, right? As for those agitators, I wish they'd go the whole way and emasculate themselves. It's like, yeah. That's pretty strong, Paul. Boy, oh boy. But he loves them so much, and he doesn't want to see them being yoked again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers, were called to be free. And this is where then it gets into the principle also then applies to us. But don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed. So I say, live by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The two are opposed, but if you just keep living by the Spirit, living by the Spirit, living by the Spirit, choosing the Spirit of God, choosing the path of God, choosing Him, choosing to say yes to Him, you won't gratify those other things. And in the context of what we're experiencing today, that veil will be torn away. That veil will be removed because we're not looking at God the old way. We're not looking at, like, for the Jews, again, in Corinthians, right? They were trying to, Paul was talking about them trying to reach God, but through the Mosaic covenant, well, then there's a veil still. Well, whenever we, as Gentiles, we try to reach God, but still live lives our own way, the veil is there. Oh, but I don't suffer with the Mosaic law. No, but we suffer with our own North American 21st century law, don't we? Where I can live my life, try and fit God in. I'm fitting him in a little bit more than I used to. That's great. Really. But God isn't meant to be fit in anywhere. He is meant to consume. He is meant to envelop us, to totally overshadow us and cover us for every aspect of our lives. And as we chase after him and as we live by the Spirit, we won't gratify our 21st century North American mindset ways and law. We'll gratify him, and we'll be gratified in him. We'll be satisfied. Okay. So I say, live by the Spirit and we'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. So you don't do what you want. And that totally reminds me of last week, Romans 7. You don't do what you want to do. You do what you don't want to do. All of that. But if we are led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. Again, to the Jew, not under the Mosaic law anymore. To us as Gentiles, not under the North American 21st century law anymore. You're not under that law of getting the biggest house and the fastest car and the Freedom 55 kind of mentality. You're not under that law anymore of indulging self and consumerism and all these kinds of things. You're not under the law of chasing after the almighty dollar. You're not under the law of, well, I deserve this. You're not under the law of entertainment anymore. You're not under the law of recreation. Not that there isn't recreation and entertainment in God's kingdom. There is a freedom to walk that out, but not in an indulging, being led by that sort of way. We're set free. We're set free from the rat race. Isn't that amazing? We've been set free from the rat race. Why would we then go and join the rat race again? You read Romans 6 around there. You know, I've been set free. Why would you indulge? Like, again, he's talking about law. I've been set free from the law. Why would I indulge in it any longer? Why would I go back to it? Why would I live in it any longer? We've been set free. We've been set free from all of that. We're led by the Spirit. Then he goes into verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And he goes into the ones like sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And there are other places in Scripture that talk about the like. You know, so the list is bigger than this, right? I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so this is the way. So there is a reality of if that is the defining characteristic. We were talking about this on Tuesday a little bit in 1 John. If that's the defining characteristic of our lives, then we will not inherit the kingdom of God. If that is indicative, we talked about these the Greek and the indicative tense of verbs and nouns and different things like that. If that's indicative of our lives, then we won't inherit the kingdom of God. If that's our identity, to use a 21st century kind of word, a modern day word, a pop culture word, if that's our identity, then we can't have identity in Christ. You can only have one identity. And unlike what the world thinks, you can't just change from one identity to the other. Well, today I'm a girl. Today I'm a guy. Today I'm this. Today I'm that. I'm a dog right now. I'm a cat right now. I'm a flying pony. You know, it doesn't work that way. You can't change like that. If our identity is in Christ, we will inherit the kingdom of God. But if our identity, what you look at this, right? If our identity is in discord, if our identity is in selfish ambition, if our identity is drunkenness, you know, or the 1 Corinthians 6, when it gets into, if our identity is in our sexuality and our immorality, we can't inherit the kingdom of God. It just doesn't work. You can't serve two masters. I think of Jesus' words, right, in the Gospels. Either hate the one, love the other. Despise the one or be devoted to the other. You can't serve God and money at that point. It's talking about money specifically. But I would say that goes for anything. Can't serve two masters. You can only serve one. Biblical marriage is one man, one woman. One. And someone might say, yeah, but there was polygamy in the Old Testament. Yes, God, I would say, it's kind of like divorce in the Old Testament. When Jesus answers that question, God allowed it because of the hardness of their hearts. But that's not the way it was from the beginning. And God didn't create out of, God didn't take all of Adam's ribs out and create, like, I don't know how many ribs there are, but, you know, 16 wives. He took one rib out, created one woman for Adam. One. We're supposed to have one master. We as the church, we're supposed to have one husband, who is Jesus. Fully devoted to him. Singular focus. He is our identity. But if we have our eyes on these other things, we can't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what I also say is, yes, yeah, sometimes we have, we get focused on those things. I'm not saying we lose our salvation at that point, okay? Let me be clear about that. But in that moment, you cannot, if you look at this, so if your soul, right, you have your soul. If you're pointing this way, looking at the spirit, what's going on in the spirit, then you won't indulge the flesh. The outer courts are the flesh, right? The outer courts. You won't be looking that way. You can only look one direction at a time. We're not chameleons, right? We can't do the eye thing like this. We look at one thing at one time. But if we're looking outward at all the stuff that's going in the world around us, in the flesh, and again, chasing after things that are part of this world, we can't look in the spirit. So even for those moments, haven't you experienced this where when you fix your eyes on the things that are of this world, you can't hear God very well? You can't see God very well? You can't partake in the inheritance that he's won for us? I so see that in my life. And then verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And that's where we see, but just hold it, a few verses before, you said, don't indulge the sinful nature. How can I indulge it if it's crucified? Because it's still alive. Yeah, it's on the cross, and it's dying, but it's still alive. And what I find is we come and feed it sometimes. We sneak it some food. And sometimes we don't just sneak it. We just, in broad daylight, fully just stuff its face. It's still on the cross. Man, it looks healthy for being on the cross. Sometimes, doesn't it? Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Wow.
Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride, healthy pride, right, in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. And then verse 7, which, again, it's one of those verses that we memorized way back in high school. I love it. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let's not mock God, and let's not be deceived. Everything we reap, we will sow. Oh, but I'm a believer. Yes, you are. I have eternal life, a guarantee. Yes, you do. I have that assurance of salvation. Yes, you do. I have the Holy Spirit living in me, and he communicates me. Yes, he does. But if you sow things in your life that are from the sinful nature, you will start reaping destruction. Everywhere where I sow in my life things to please the sinful nature, I reap death from that. Oh, Kevin, are you losing your salvation? No. Every time I choose selfishness in my marriage, I hurt my marriage. Every time. Oh, are you and Carleen maybe going to get divorced? No. No, not at all. But every time I choose a selfish path, I hurt us. I hurt me. I hurt her. There's a little bit of destruction that goes on. And sometimes we wish it wasn't so. See, we want to be able to sow what we want. Let's be honest, right? We sometimes want to be able to sow what we want to sow, but not have the consequences of it. And then when the consequences start coming, we start chasing after God in repentance, which is really good and right. And God forgives completely, but he still allows us sometimes to walk through the consequences of that sin. The verse I was looking for on the computer was from Hebrews chapter 12. And I was thinking of Esau. I've said before, we all have a little bit of swine in us. And we talked about the swine returning to its mud. We all have a little bit of that in us. We all have a little bit of Esau in us. Verse 16 of Hebrews 12, it says, see, no one is sexually immoral. So he's talking about sexual immorality specifically here. But there's all kinds of things. Before that, it talks about bitter root and different stuff. But anyways, or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit his blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. Now praise God, in Christ we have full forgiveness. It's not counted against us. It's taken away. The blood of Jesus has paid for all our sins. But sometimes, okay, so back to what was happening there in the worship. Sometimes we want to enter into the Holy of Holies so bad, but there seems to be a veil. And understand, I'm talking about myself here too right now, okay? Like I've been talking about myself the whole time, just so you know. I haven't been talking about you at all. But if you get something out of it, that's great. Oh, God, I want to enter in so much. And he's like, I want you to enter in too. Oh, God, I know you have so much for us, so much more. I can see little holes through the veil. I peek through and this beams of sunlight, just these beams of glory start coming through. I want that. He's like, I want that for you too. Well, then why don't you just open the veil, Lord? He's like, why don't you? Why don't you stop living according to the ways of this world and the old law, the law of North America? I want to tear it. I've done everything that is needed to tear that veil. I want you to enter in. And we start crying out to the Lord. And please understand, I'm not downplaying, like shouting to the Lord in that. Not downplaying that at all. But that's not how we enter in. At that moment, love me, but I got this picture of Hebrews 12 at that point. And we're trying to enter in, and we're trying to enter in with tears and loud shouts. That's not how we enter in. We enter in with our lives. We enter in by choosing yes. As we were worshiping there, I thought of the book of Mark. And in Mark, I think chapter 5. I didn't look, but I'm fairly certain it's around there. I know where it is. Oh, Mark 6, close enough. It's on this side of the page. Jesus goes back to his hometown. And we see from other passages too in Matthew, he wants to do miracles there. But they take offense at him. And Jesus said, only in his hometown, among his own relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And then this is the verse that always gets me, verse 5. Because we're talking about Jesus, who is God in the flesh, right? It says, he could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Matthew 13 tells the same account. And they took offense at him, verse 57. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So you put those two accounts together, you put those two different perspectives together, and this is what I come up with, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is how I see it. He could not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. See, grace always pours through faith, and faith is belief, and more than cognitive belief. It's more than saying, Jesus, I want you. Like we learn in James chapter 2, biblical faith is active faith. Oh, he wants to pour himself out. And we have experienced that. We have experienced that. But I hear those words that Morgan shared. Man, God's been sharing, asking me the same question over and over again. Do you really want what you're asking for, Kevin? Okay, then come on. It was so neat. This past Monday evening, we from the book of Thessalonians, we read that Paul wanted to visit the Thessalonians to supply what was lacking in their faith. And so then the question came on Monday, so what's lacking in our faith? What would God say to us? This is lacking. This is keeping you from becoming more of who you're created to be. You know, this and so I want to do this in your life. I want to impart this to you. I want you to work on this. I want, you know, and so I started praying, and I prayed that out then on Monday night in front of everyone, because I felt like I was led to do that. And Lord, I pray that you would supply what's lacking in my faith. And I just challenged everyone, if you can pray that prayer, pray that prayer, and I'll challenge you here. Pray that prayer. Lord, what's lacking in my faith? And I want you to supply what's lacking in my faith and show me what to do, because it's about our obedience in that too. Well, as we're worshiping, God immediately shows me something. And I didn't share what it was, and I haven't shared it with anyone, and I don't think I'll share it this morning, not because it's a big deal, just for reasons that I feel like the Lord is saying. But he showed me something. And he took me to the verse in Hebrews 12 that talks about, okay, yeah, get rid of everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And so there is sin that obviously we always need to get rid of sin. But the part that was highlighted to me is get rid of everything that hinders. And he showed me something that was hindering me. It was hindering my thought life. And I could attest to it. I've been praying about it for a few months now. And I've been fighting against it because, don't you hate it? I don't know if this happens to you. but you're sitting there listening to a sermon or you're in worship, and all of a sudden a thought hits your head that is out of the blue, like totally left field, right? And it, left field, right? No, left field. And it just, why am I thinking that? I want to concentrate on God right now. Or you're doing devotions and all of a sudden your mind wanders off. I don't know if anyone else struggles with that. I totally struggle with that. And there was this one thing that kept on coming to my mind. Not a sinful thing. Not a sinful indulgence at all. But it would invade my mind. It would invade my mind. It's like, no, I want to concentrate on you right now, Lord. And this would invade my mind. Why? Because I was giving it so much precedence in my life. And what you concentrate on is what you think about. So the Lord is like, I want you to give up this. Not because, not to show your love for me, not to show your devotion. I want to set you free from having to think about that all the time. And I said yes to him. And I said to him the next day even, I could feel the difference the next day. And I hadn't walked it out a lot, so that just showed me there was a spiritual component, like a stronghold demonic thing going on too, okay? Because I hadn't walked it out long enough to be something. Detox. Yeah. I hadn't walked it out long enough to be detoxed from it. But I've noticed already this week, you know, since Monday, it's not invading my thoughts as much anymore. And again, it wasn't a sinful thing. It's not a sinful thing that I'm dealing out. It's something that was hindering me. It's like, do I want what I say I want? Do I want what I say I want? Am I willing to walk that out? No matter what it is, do I have eyes only for him? Or may I put it this way? Do I have eyes first for him, where he is my first love? God wants to take us so much further. So much further. I think, and we've seen, like, okay, we've walked out a bunch, and then we've seen a lot. But even what we think we've seen, like, way out on the horizon, how beautiful, I feel like God's saying, and that ain't nothing. I have so much for you. I have so much life for you. I have so much life to pour into you and to give you, and not just during worship, but, like, day in, day out. I have so much. Okay, so let me summarize. Before I summarize. Just during the last song, I felt like God was pointing me then in all of this, to Joshua chapter 5. In Joshua chapter 5, it's the chapter before they go into Jericho. And someone had mentioned walls coming down. And that often comes to my heart when we're worshiping and blowing the shofars. But especially then in light of what I felt like God was ministering to us. And for us, we want to see this veil taken away. Just fully taken away. Joshua chapter 5 is a really interesting chapter. See, we think of Joshua chapter 6 and the walls coming down and woohoo, glory. Joshua chapter 5 is when they were circumcised. They crossed over the Jordan River and they were circumcised. Circumcision is all about, and you see this in the Old Testament, you see this in the New Testament. And that's where Paul is going crazy, because he's like, it's not about the physical thing. Circumcision, uncircumcision doesn't mean anything. And basically what he's saying is a circumcised heart. Circumcision was all about being set apart for God. I belong to you. Fully belong to you. I am yours. You are my God. They were already saved. They've already come out of Egypt. It's really interesting to me that they weren't circumcised then. No, because we're saved by grace through faith. And we're saved no matter what kind of ultimate commitment we make. Like, as in, I don't want to say that too lightly. I don't want to say that too strongly. But there is this just trust in Jesus. And you know what? We can choose the rest of our lives to wander around in the Sinai desert, the Sinai Peninsula, if we want. Like, actually, I think it's on the other side, but that's another story. That's in the Saudi Arabia side, but we can choose to wander the desert for 40 years, but God wants to take us to the promised land. But before we get into the promised land, I'm set apart for you, Lord. I have eyes only for you. Everything else is a distant second. Everything else is a distant second. I set aside my pride. I set aside my selfishness. I set aside my finance. I set aside my plans for my life. I set aside my reputation. I set aside my own desires. I definitely set aside all the sin, but also the things that entangle. I mean, the things that hinder. I set them aside. I am for you. I love it too, because this is a whole nother sermon one day, but they are so vulnerable at that point. They are so vulnerable. None of the men would be able to pick up a sword and fight. None of them, because of the pain. And yet God is their protector, and he protects them. All the other nations are just filled with dread, and God keeps them away while they heal up. Anyways, really interesting. So then, in light of this morning, I believe that sometimes the sealing that we feel, it's not because of a specific sin like Achan in Jericho, where he's stolen gold and stolen silver. I don't know. I think that most of the time it's not that. I think it does have to do with, do we want what we say we want? That's how we get in. We won't get in with loud shouts. Again, not against shouting. Not against it at all. But I guess it's the shouting that comes from the Holy of Holies. Like, where you just can't help but shout. Because he's pouring in, and there's no veil. There's nothing impeding him and stopping him. I would challenge you to ask that question that we asked on Monday, Lord, what is lacking? And again, no condemnation. None. None. Fully excited. Fully excited. And I guess a final word, and then questions and comments. Is we're in this together. We are in this together. My choices affect the veil. Your choices affect the veil. I am so committed to being here. I'm so committed to, if we have to go a little slow, we'll go slow. If we go fast, we'll go fast. Like, but I'm committed to going together. And so, just that place of we all speak into this, and we all have an effect on this. Are there any questions or comments on this? Mm-hmm.
So, During worship, I had a couple of pictures that I've been just kind of mulling over it. One was of the wall, and there's places where it's getting thinner that God has actually punched through.
Mm.
And yet, I had that picture of patching the wall,
mm-hmm.
that we're busy patching the wall because that's comfortable for us.
Yeah. And
the other picture I had was, there was a movie that came out a long time ago called Out of Africa. And there is a part in it where they have a beautiful plantation. It's a beautiful garden. And there is a flood that's coming. And they're working like crazy to shore up the walls
yeah.
and the berm or whatever that was around it. And at one point, it's coming through. And at one point, she says, just let it go. Just let it go. And so for me, I was thinking, you know, that's God. He's the flood.
Hmm.
And we have these beautiful gardens. We think they're so beautiful where they're really manicured and beautiful and they're in straight lines. And God is saying, you got to get rid of
it.
Just
let it go.
And he's like, just let me flood it. And it's going to look really ugly. But you got to give it up. You got to let it die. And for me, that's scary. Because you have a big mud patch, and it's like there's no order there, but that's the only way to go about it. That's the only way to let God in, is by letting him kill off the things that are in the way.
Yeah.
The things that look beautiful to me, because I put them there.
Yeah.
But they're no good.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so for me, that's like, okay, am I going to let him come in?
Yeah.
Am I just going to let him do his thing?
Yeah.
Even though I don't know what the future is going to hold, but I know he says it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
But I can't see it yet.
So good.
So anyway,
yep.
Those are the pictures I had.
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's John.
Yeah. sometimes warring against our flesh. I'm really glad that you mentioned that. It's, you know, the things, the deeds of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, it's obvious, and the list that Paul gives is obvious that it's evil. I mean, mm-hmm. Drunkenness, slander, all that. But there is a part of our flesh that can be quite seemingly righteous, and which is what I think Judy is also talking about. It can be beautiful, it can be, mm-hmm. But it still hinders. And so I'm very thankful that you bring that up, because sometimes where the struggle is, there's seemingly nothing wrong
right.
with it.
Right.
And that's where you need the discernment. And in fact, sometimes the Spirit may even lead us, like David, to go in and eat the consecrated bread,
yeah.
which will look to other Christians like totally sacrilegious, but that's another thing. But just dealing with our struggle against our own flesh, there can be a certain righteousness, but it really seemingly righteous, but it's not.
Right.
It hinders.
Right. And it even can be something that is downright good. And I know that many of us have heard the whole thing about Abraham and Isaac. Abraham willing to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac was the promised son. I know that, an example, many of you know my testimony where after Haiti, I wanted to get right back into vocational ministry, but God kept me out until I didn't care if I got back into vocational ministry. I had to die to the idea of vocational ministry, meaning where I'm a pastor and a position of pastor. All the while knowing I was called to be a pastor. But I had to die to it. Oh, but Lord, those are flowers sent by you. You planted them there. Yep, I did. but you've added your own stuff to it, and so I got to wipe it out so that I can plant again, and it'll be more beautiful than you ever thought. And that has played itself out. If I hadn't died to the very, very good and godly calling of pastor, we wouldn't be here today. Emmanuel Grace would not exist. I would not know him like I know him now. So I had to die to it. And that was even good. That was good. It was calling by God. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know, definitely, you know, obviously I can definitely, you know, speak to what you're talking about now even, you know, and it's just, again, a lot of it feels like it's about order of things, right, and having things in proper places, right?
Yeah.
Even like, sometimes, you know, you've sins in there, your life or whatever, you know, and you're trying to actively resist it, which is good, you know, and you're obviously supposed to, obviously, if a thought comes in your head, that's sinful, you know.
Absolutely.
But I would say even before that, there's obviously the place of you should be, again, looking, training your eyes on God, you know. Like, for me, I've noticed the times when sin's most sort of away from me is when I'm just, you know, getting into my Bible more, when I'm praying to him and really seeking him out more. It's like it just, instead of just actively resisting it, which is necessary, it's
yep.
like it seems that, oh, I'm just getting in, I'm learning about God, and he's more in my thoughts more and more. Just, again, the spirit is fighting the flesh there. And it's like, I find I just don't have any, oh, that's not even on my mind at these
yeah.
times, right? You just have this, it just naturally gets rid of it, you know? And again, obviously, again, oh, you do have a thought, straight thought, you resist that, you get rid of that. But again, it's, if you have him first and foremost,
absolutely.
Right? Again, just that complete and utter dedication to just, I want to know you more. I want to just have that relationship with you, you know? It's like, if you put that right at the start of the train, right, then everything else will run smoothly.
Absolutely. It's like Galatians 5 says, if you satisfy, like, and if you feed the things of the Spirit and live by the Spirit, you won't gratify the things of the flesh. And just as you're sharing, I know that, like again, the example of marriage. And I think in marriage, yeah, there are temptations, definitely. There are temptations in many different ways. But you know what? I find that if I focus on Carlene and just focus on her, the other things don't even tempt me then. Because why? Well, because my eyes can only look at one person at a time. And I choose to focus on her. Choose to focus on the Lord. Then the other things, yeah, they do go away. It's good. Anyone else? All right. I keep on saying one last thing, but forgive me. We often pray for breakthrough. And again, I know we pray for it when we're at home alone as well, but we often pray for it here. And even like, oh, there's a ceiling in that. Two things, just so you know, the holes that are allowing the sun through, it's because we have said yes to God, and it's because he is gracious and merciful to us, and he loves us and wants to share. So there is this communion going on. But breakthrough, okay, so breakthrough does not happen on Sunday morning. Breakthrough starts Sunday afternoon. Breakthrough starts Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday evening, and so on and so forth. That's where breakthrough is found. That is where breakthrough is found. That's where the veil is torn. And then when we get to Sunday, when we gather together, and in even before we get there, but like that's where then we see the manifestation of it all. But it starts in, like for me, again, I prayed that prayer Monday. God is faithful. He shows me something. Okay, then, am I going to walk it out? Am I going to walk it out? And if I choose not to, no matter how much I cry out on a Sunday morning, it's not going to matter. It's not that he's hard and that, it's just, it's not going to matter. But as I say yes, as I follow him, as I yield, as I surrender, the one song we sang, one of the new ones, an undivided life, just undivided. Man, those holes start getting bigger and bigger. The tear starts getting bigger and bigger, and eventually, oh Lord, may the whole veil just be gone. May it just be gone. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right, let me pray for us. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you have already done. I thank you for your pouring through. I thank you for the glory of the Holy of Holies invading our soul and where we can see you and understand you and glory in your presence. And Lord, it just gives us an appetite for more. We just want more. And so then when we have a time together where it feels like we're fighting it, man, 5 years ago, that wouldn't have even frustrated us necessarily, but now it's just like, I want more, Lord. And so show us, continue to show us, open our eyes to how to walk our lives and out and praise you. We want to walk in the Spirit in all things. Lord, I pray that right now you'd manifest your presence to us. And I know that the enemy wants to sometimes come in and use a word like this to discourage. But I pray that each person here would be comforted by your Spirit right now. I pray your comfort. I pray your assurance. I pray that we would look into your face and see your love, the love in your eyes. Pray that this would be manifest in us right now. The joy on your face, the excitement, the encouragement. Praise you, Lord.